old. You know it by now. It's going to take away your joy, your peace. It's going to pull away your mind into thinking things are more important of the world than they are. I mean, they talk about that 100-year rule. I mean, what's really going to matter 100 years from now? But it doesn't have to be 100 years from now, because probably none of us will be here anyways. What matters when you die? That's what matters. I tell people all the time, what matters when you die? You're still responsible every day, but what matters the day you die? Turn to John chapter 4. It's everything else I kind of think of as inconsequential. You know, necessary to the extent you want to be responsible, practical. I'm not saying anything like that. But I put them in the category of something I call nothing burgers, to be honest with you. John chapter 4, great book of the Bible. When we finish Corinthians, we're going to be back in here. And the Gospel of John has one of four depictions of the life of Christ. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic Gospels. Like you give a synopsis of something, a summary of something. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give a very similar summary of the life of Christ and their portrayal of the experience they had with him for at least the 3 years that they journeyed with him in his ministry. Luke goes a little bit into his birth with a little more detail. But the Gospel of John is different. The Gospel of John incorporates an outreach to what the Jews weren't ready for, an outreach to the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew in the Bible, you're a Gentile. So it doesn't matter what your ethnicity or anything is. The Jewish people were all kind of taught to look at any non-Jewish person as a Gentile. And so John is writing in a way where there's an outreach to the Gentiles that are unique to his gospel portrayal. And he gets into a whole bunch of stories that are really fun and exciting. And we'll pick it up when we finish Corinthians in our study. But the main purpose of the Gospel of John, you never want to forget, is chapter 20, verse 31. I'll quote it to you. These things are written, he's talking about, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why they're written, so you could come to the conclusion that he's not an ordinary man. And that believing, you might have life through his name. So then this book reaches out with the design purpose, it's what the reason it's been written, to demonstrate and try to prove and convince to you that Jesus is God. And that if you believe on him, you can have eternal life. That's why it was written. Amen? So just as that theme reminder, and I'll jump to John chapter 4. We're going to read, we're going to split it up, verse chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. And then a central point in verse 24. And then 27 to 34. John 4, look at verse 1 to 8. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, parentheses, just so you know, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. That's just an interesting way to put it. I mean, the geography of it, we'll see in just a moment. He had to go through Samaria in order to get to Galilee. But this is something that was on, like, God's agenda. You know, you have a task thing, you got on your agenda, notes. So I got to do this today, I got to do this. I send myself notes all the time. I send them, like, three different places in case I forget this one. I erase that one because I do it all the time. But he must needs go through Samaria. There's somebody there that God needs to meet. It's just cool, man. It's God, the creator of the universe. It's like, I got to stop in Samaria. While I'm on the planet Earth, I'm getting ready to die and go to the cross. But before that happens, there's somebody I got to meet in Samaria. And it's just really cool how God thinks about, you know, us. And so he says in verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So it's kind of considered a sacred cemetery place. Almost to the point where they would worship it. Now Jacob's well was there. So there's a series of, you know, hallmark places in this area of Samaria that are being identified here for a reason. We see why. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. Now, when he's wearied with his journey, it's because not only is he God, and that's why this gospel is written, he's also a human being, because God became a man. That's the message of the gospel. The amazing wonders of that God, the creator of this whole universe, would come to this earth as a human being in order to die for us. And so he says, being wearied with this, so as a human being, he's wearied, he's tired. He sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. It's like right around the noontime. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. So this is when the Bible says he must needs go to Samaria. This is a Gentile. Gentile, Jew, mix, but it's a Gentile in their eyes. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, Jews and Gentiles, and especially Samaritans, they didn't get along with each other. They both thought they were better than the other person. And so this is the attitude and the context of what he's approaching. I'm going to go there. He's right in the middle of a confrontation, a confrontational mindset. God's not afraid. He will confront confrontation in your life. And he will bring things to your attention, because he's going to hear. And so he brings, he sees this woman. And Jesus saith unto her, and this is always, has always interested me, he says, give me to drink. So he's requesting a drink. The only other time he does that when he's on the cross, by the way. You know, and then he dies, and they stick a spear in his side, and out comes water and blood. When he's saying, give me to drink, what's interesting to me is it's not a question mark. And so one way, in the context of how I'm delivering this, to try to glean something from it, is it says, it's not give me to drink, question mark, it's give me to drink. She doesn't understand this yet. And the reason I'm telling you that is because when this is all over, before this is all over, that's exactly what she does. She doesn't give him a drink of water. She gives him to other people to drink, which is interesting. So now you look at the verse number 8. Now here's the parentheses, just so you know this. By the way, what he doesn't want to happen is a distraction. He doesn't want his outreach to this person. You don't get a lot of opportunities to witness to people. Like really, really get alone with them and tell them, hey, this is serious. God's been waiting for you. And so when that opportunity arises, he recognizes we got to be careful of distractions that can prevent people from really focusing in on what I want to tell them. And so you got these parentheses. What does he do? The disciples all leave. Because if they're there, they might, you know, have a little bit of, you know, you might have that kind of attitude going on. You know, the homie attitude, you know, for his disciples were going away onto the city. What are they going to do? They're going to buy meat. We're going to get something to eat, man. These disciples, you know, they were hardy working men. You're bound to see them come back with lots of food, but they're gone. The narrative continues. All the way to verse number 27, they're gone. So he's alone with her. It's like he wants to be with you. I want you to see in verse number 24, verse 22 and 24, then we'll jump to where they come in. Verse 22, he's talking with her, and he says, ye worship ye know not what. So you have an understanding of worship spiritually in the heart, but not in the head. You know not what. He says, we know what we worship, the Jews. See, the Jews have something in their head, but it's missing in their heart. They're missing the spirit of worship. She's missing the truth, the knowledge. For salvation is of the Jews. He's kind of letting her know that I'm being very kind to you, very courteous to you, but you're going to have to accept something about salvation. It doesn't come through the Samaritans. It doesn't come through the Italians. It doesn't come through the Polish. It doesn't come through the rich. It doesn't come through the poor. It doesn't come through the Irish. It doesn't come through the Russians. It ain't coming through the Ukrainians. It doesn't come through the Chinese. It comes from the Jews. Jesus came to this world as a Jew because God's going to rule the world through the nation of Israel. Amen. Someday he's going to do that. That's why all the focus, anything happened, what's the big deal about Israel? It's God's people. It's God's nation. Someday we're going to see God's temple brought there. All right? So now, verse 24, this is what he lets her know. God is a spirit. See the capital S? That's the Holy Ghost. And they that worship him must worship him in, see the spirit, small s. Now, this is corrective in two modes. You worship him in spirit, but not in truth. The Jews worship him in truth, but not in spirit. See? The letter of the law was killing the spirit of the law. So he says, because this is going to come right back to the Jews. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not enough to say, you know, I worship God in spirit, and I said 150 rosary prayers to Mary. Well, gee, that's pretty, you know, you're worshiping God in spirit. That ain't in truth, man. Thy word is truth. That's not how you worship God. That's how you pray to God. You talk to God like you talk to any other human being. Amen? You know, he's just, you know, in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ. Anyways, now let's pick it up in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples. So they returned back. Parentheses is over. See that? And they marveled. Why did they marvel? Because he talked with the woman. You know, it's like, he's talking to a woman. Now, you've got 12 guys here, you know, manly men, you know. Jesus is, I'm telling you right now, the best faith and religious belief practice in the world towards women is Christianity. Because of who Jesus Christ is. Not because of who Christians are, because Christians screw up like everybody else. Like the Jews are right now. And they mistreat women. Amen? But not Christianity, according to the Bible. He talked to her like she was equal to a man in her humanity as a soul. Amen? Because when God made man, he made them male and female. In the image of God created he them. How many races of people did God make? How many genders? That's it, bro. Pretty easy. The world may be confused, but we're not. Man, it ain't coming here, brother. It ain't coming here. And so, now continue right here, verse number 20. They marvel. He's talking with a woman. He's talking to a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? You know, but they were thinking it. They're like, why is he doing that? It's like, right now, I have no idea what you're thinking. So maybe we should bow our heads and have a word of prayer. The woman then left her water pot. Give me to drink. So that's why I'm telling you. Like, look at that one. I find it pretty intriguing. She left the instrument that was going to bring water out of the well. She leaves it there. Doesn't give him any. She runs and tells other people about the water of life. And went her way into the city and saith unto the man, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. You know what he did with that woman? He revealed to her sins. And she said, wow. And she repented and came to see Christ, not as a God to fear where repentance would cause her to run away, where she came and recognized he was the Messiah and she went and told others. Watch. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. That's exactly what she's doing. What a wonderful Savior we have. He doesn't want us to run away from him. He's holy. We're not. He's God. We're not. He died on the cross for us. We didn't. Meet him there. Get to know him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him. Okay? Let's go back to what we went shopping. Got all this meat. So he says, Master, manja. And so, but he said unto them, now this is amazing to me. So they're looking, it's like, we got all this meat, you know, all these giant burgers, you know, and all this stuff they've got. And he says unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Interesting. So he tells them, verse number 32, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another. Look what they're saying. They said one to another, hath any man brought him what to eat? It's like, is there a McDonald's bag underneath there? You know, I mean, did he go to KFC? Is that what I see over there? It's like, he's got to be hungry. What meat is he talking about? You know what they think he has? No meat. They think he has a nothing burger. But the reality is, they have all this meat, and it's nothing but a bunch of nothing burgers. They're nothing burgers. He needs to teach her something about this. He needs to teach them something about this. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Isn't that something? The apostles are eating, thinking they've got these big giant burgers and he's got a nothing burger. And he's eating something they don't realize that is trying to mirror to them a parallel truth. You guys are eating nothing burgers. Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you ever go there, one of their athletic stadiums, they have a world famous renowned burger called the Fifth Third Pound Burger. It just sounds big. It happens to be 4,889 calories for those of us that count calories, but don't keep them. 299 grams of fat. It's a monstrosity. It's got 5 1/3 pound burgers, each with a separate slice of cheese, a cup of chili, salsa, sour cream, Fritos, and almost a whole tomato. The bread that this fifth-third pound burger is entrenched in is an entire pound of dough. And before the war at Ukraine, it was around $20. Hey, man, I don't know what it is now. Blame them for everything. Why not, folks? It's a nothing burger. That's what it is. It would cost for the entire entrance fee for a family of four. Or you could buy a nothing burger. 1980s, the Wendy's commercial. You got these three old ladies. Look at this big, giant bun. It's a big bun. Oh, my. It's a very big bun. Yes, indeed. It's a very, very, very fluffy big bun. But where's the beef? See, by contrast, what it's implying is all other burgers are nothing burgers. Because this is where the beef is. 2010's Arby's contrast that sale pitch with a manly deep voice. We have the beef. Obviously, everyone else who doesn't have we have the beef has a nothing burger. Do you see what's happening? Nothing burgers are a concept of comparing what I have to what you have, and because what I have is more important to me, what you have is inconsequential, non-essential. It's a nothing burger. Amen. Meanwhile, the true substance of faith that was trying to be revealed here in John chapter 4 is much more than this catchy phrase based on the whim of whatever cultural, you know, fad that's going on right now in today's day and age. And you begin to see that this aspect of nothing burgers is based in the prejudices and biases of human nature. Yes, it is. That's what you're seeing here. You think something's a bigger deal than it is because how it affects you, amen? And you feed on it, amen? And you take the nothing burger meat and turn it into a beef, amen? So we're seeing John chapter 4 are two encounters that are partitioned off, very carefully partitioned off, and then to unite it with this same principle God tries to reveal, Jesus tries to reveal. If you and I allow the God of this world to fuel our heartfelt, you know, cultural divisions and differences against each other, we're feeding on nothing burgers. You're not getting what he's trying to show you, amen? Christ has to be in the center for people to unite. You know how people, there's no way we could get close and unite to each other. We all smell, amen? You can't get that close to each other unless Christ is in the center. And then we can get close to each other as long as we stay distant. Why? Because we still smell. Amen, Brother John. You mean after you're saved? Yeah, after you're saved, amen? Nothing burgers are a colloquial term that involves the interpretation of something being insulting. It's an accusation of somebody, you know, you're not really that important. You lack real substance. Where's the beef? Amen? There's nothing to see here. Just a nothing. No big deal. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Just a nothing burger. Who cares about it? It doesn't really matter. It's a nothing burger. You know, this in turn is attached to the deeper meaning. If you're eating a nothing burger or not eating the burger that to me isn't a nothing burger, then you're a nothing burger because you are what you eat. People begin to look down at people based on their cultural prejudices. Yes, they do. And I mean, it becomes an insulting inference at the least. You're just a peon. When you're compared to royalty, you're just a peasant. It's the mindset of a two-tiered society where the elites get to do all these things with the prime ribs and this, that, and the other, and the proletariats do nothing because they're just nothing burgers. As despicable as it tastes, brother, Christians can be guilty of biting into this worldview of what really matters based on my opinions. Amen? Now, this is exposed. Christ exposes it with the woman first, and then he tosses it right at the guys. The guys in the apostles, the disciples. Now, let me share something with you. You can amen if you want. I don't know how you couldn't, but you don't have to. The media would have you to think that the defined narrative of the day is the most important topic that should be on your mind. Yesterday, say absolutely. I mean, just 5 months ago, 3 months ago, it was COVID. You had to think and focus on COVID. Amen? Because that's the most important thing in the world. You know what that is? That was a nothing burger with another intention. Amen. Everything that is predetermined in the narrative of the media, and it's politicized, and the opinion of the media that they want you to have is nothing but it's a nothing burger. Understand this. It's not wrong to be aware of current events and how they apply to the Bible and both practically and prophetically in this world that we have to live in and what we have to do and decisions that we make, so on and so forth. But there's an obsession with trying to control how you think and shape your opinion to what the world thinks you should think is important. They're nothing burgers. Nothing burgers. Hundreds of thousands people died during COVID. Do you think whether they wore a mask or got vaccinated mattered? Matters. Because they met God. Amen? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Hope you know him. I do. Say, what do you mean? His name is Jesus. I came, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know where he said that? At the cross. At the cross. Amen? So 5 months ago, nobody in here was thinking about Ukraine. I bet you the majority of people 5 months ago wouldn't even know where Ukraine was on a map. And if we put you to test without embarrassing you, maybe some of you wouldn't know where Ukraine is right now on a map. Because inside you know, brother, it's a nothing burger. We got our own borders to deal with. But you're not thinking about that. Because you know why? Because you're thinking about the slap that the world heard. Did Will Smith really slap Chris Rock? You weren't thinking about that 2 weeks ago. Never entered your mind. Don't tell me it did. That was put on you. That was force-fed you. Now you have to think about it. Even though you know, who cares, man?
Well, you're supposed to care. You gotta care. You better care. What do you think about it?
Frankly, I don't care. Because you know what I know it is? It's a nothing burger. Don't tell me it isn't. It sure is. You know, Kyle Irving's playing for back in New York City again. Who cares? Yeah, but you're supposed to care about CRT in Gay Way, Florida. Who cares about Gay Way, Florida and Disney World? What about the midterms? Got to start focusing on the midterms. Oh, my God. What's going on? God's in control, dude. You know, vegan or steak, Republican or Democrat, black or white, God forbid that you should think for yourself and say, you know what? Why are we so divided? Because of nothing burgers. Because you think the color of the skin means more than the content of the character. No, it doesn't. Amen? Amen, Brother John. I'm trying to shove that stuff down my throat now at work. I'm okay with it, dude. I'm just going to put it all out. I just talk straight when it comes down to it. Amen. The reality of the reality is this. It's in 1 John chapter 2. You want to know what matters? You better know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And once you do, surrender, submit, fall in love, and live for Him. Amen. Why? Because everything else is a what? Okay, help me out here. 1 John chapter 2. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus... that's a great verse though. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God dwelleth him and he is God. That is a great verse. But it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you can't love pizza. I mean, I love pizza. But not above God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, hello, guess what, brother? Rude awakening. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. So what are you telling me? I'm telling you it's all nothing burgers. This world boasts of gifts and abilities and promises like clouds and wind without rain, the Bible says. Nothing burgers. Nothing in this world can give you eternal life. Where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Why do I want to follow Muhammad? Go ahead, but why do I? He's dead. I don't want to follow you. You're alive. Amen. Amen. These are spots in your feast of charity. Clouds they are without water. These are wells without water. That's exactly where we are right now in Proverbs, in the book of John, chapter number 4. There ain't nothing to them. They're nothing burgers. So let's back up and look at this and understand this. Prejudices, in my opinion, are not born in maternity warts. I'll guarantee you, nobody in here the day you were born, and as long as you were in that maternity ward, you had no prejudices. When you were crying, it wasn't because... so-and-so's, right next door to me in the crib, and they have a different color skin than I have, or they obviously, their parents make more money than me, because look at their blanket. Nobody's crying about anything other than the fact that they're thirsty and they're hungry. Amen? Everything else, brother, is nothing burgers. And that's the solution we want to see when we get over here. Prejudices aren't born in maternity wards. They're shaped in cultural wards as soon as you get out. You're not supposed to hang out with a Republican if you're a Democrat, or a Democrat if you're a Republican, or a black person if you're white, or an Asian person if you're a Mexican. You're not supposed to do that. Because we're better than. Where'd you get that from? Where did he get that from? You get it from the Bible? You get it from cultural wars. Brother, we need to identify this and recognize this. Jesus Christ tells him in John 4, verse 24, God's a spirit. You worship him. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth. He says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. You got the spirit, right? But the spirit of God's word, right? But you got the truth of God's word wrong. He's revealing this imbalance and he's correcting it. Because these are the two things I'm going to suggest to you. Number one, just like a baby in a ward. Approaches you. You don't realize it, but if you've been eating nothing burgers, your mouth is dry. You may think you're hungry, but you're not. You're thirsty. That's what's going on over here. She goes and she says, you know, I'm thirsty, but what are you talking to me for? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman, not just a Samaritan. See, the world's confused. We're not. So you'll get the geographical sense of this. Israel at this point in time, they're divided, kind of sectioned into three, compartments. You got the southern part of Israel, and that's called Judea. And then you got the middle part, which is called Samaria, where Gentiles were put during the judgments of God, and kings came over from Assyria and stuff, and the people settled there, and they mixed with the Jews. So you kind of had a Jew and a Gentile and a hybridization of these peoples all over here. But they're not real Jews because they're not full-blooded Jews. See, you see how prejudice works? How biases work? How this is a big deal to Jews, and it's a big deal to the Samaritans. They're nothing burgers. Do you think God cares? If you're a Jew or a Gentile, you've got to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. Or you're going to die in your sins. It's as simple as that. Amen? So you got Judea, then you got Samaria, and then you've got Galilee. And Judea down over here is where Christ was born. In the previous chapter, he just got baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, the northern part of Judea. So it's probably about 70 miles walk of a trek, from there to the border of Galilee. Before he gets to Galilee, he must needs go through Samaria. Amen? He's got to deal with something. He's going to put it on the table with them, and then he's going to come back with the parentheses over. He's going to put it on the table with the Jews. Because you're no different. You have to be thirsty for the truth of God's word if you're going to stop eating nothing burgers. Anyway, my mouth is dry, man. It's just unsatisfying. There's people, they take nothing burgers very seriously, amen? That's why they're nothing burgers. And he approaches this woman in this subject matter not to win a debate or an argument, but to win her soul. That's what he's going there for. Christ doesn't approach you and tell you you're a sinner and you need to thirst for redemption and then hunger for righteousness. But you got to thirst and say, God, what really matters isn't being fulfilled by what the world narrative is telling my mind I have to think about and shape my opinion. It's like it's 1984. Amen? Except 1984 was preceded by 1611. Amen? Same thing. God's telling you what's happening before it happens. Amen? See, this woman, Christ approaches her, and look what she says in verse 5. He comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Here comes this woman to get a drink without realizing it. She's not thirsty for physical water because she's been living on nothing burgers for all her life. What she's thirsty for is living water. She's thirsty. She's been trying to fulfill the needs of her life with men. five times over. And it all fails. And it's like, well, Christ, there's nothing wrong with having a woman having a need for a man and a man, you know, wanting to get married to a woman. There's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. It's just where you're going to get this drink from. You're going to the wrong place, man. Amen. You need to find a man that loves me. You need to find a woman that loves me. Amen. Then you can raise your kids not eating nothing burgers. And all live happily ever after. And so he begins to point this out to her in verse number, the woman says to him, then saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that you're a Jew and you're asking me a drink? I'm a woman. She recognizes these biases, these concepts of interaction which the world puts on us that divides us. We're supposed to be united in Christ. The world divides us even after you're saved. Believers divide against believers because what I think is more important than what you think. You've been eating a nothing burger. Amen. That's what's getting across here. So Jesus confronts her and she says, I'm a woman of Samaria. So what's the big deal of Samaria or Sychar or the fact that you're a woman or Jacob's well? All these things, you know, she's going over and over again. He's saying, none of it matters. Christians make big, I'm telling you right now, there's Christians that make big deals because I don't wear a tie. I hope that's not a big deal to you. Amen. Because I'm not going to wear a tie. You say, why? It's a nothing burger. All I'm going to do is spill ketchup on you know, Brother John, the way you talk, the way you look, you know, this church, the songs, you know, sometimes they're good, better than others. Sometimes the preaching's better than others. Sometimes you're better than others. Yeah, but the whole bunch of, you know, hypocrites in your church. Welcome, brother. Feel at home. Amen. You gonna tell me there aren't hypocrites at the store you shop at? You gonna stop shopping? There aren't hypocrites at the gym you go to? You're not gonna stop working out? Is that what you're telling me? Amen. You're not gonna go to your family's house for a birthday party? Why? Because there's hypocrites there. My boss wants to call me in for a super duper raise. Can't go. Why? She's a hypocrite. Well, you're not gonna say anything about all of that. But you will about this. You know what? You're choking on a nothing burger. You're making a big deal out of something that's a small deal. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Amen? As if what matters to you is more important than what matters to God. That's what you're saying. That's what the world's trying to get you to believe. Don't believe it. It's a distraction. Amen? They didn't go to the local McDonald's or Burger King because... You know, to get some food or call up Uber that wasn't available back then or try to, you know, tune into Wawa's in Jerusalem too far away. There's no way they went to pizza when they were going for food because everybody knows pizza's way better up north and they were down south. So it doesn't work out that way. Come on, you got to help me out here. No amens. I mean, see, what are you saying? The reality is it wasn't the fact that they were hungry for anything. They were thirsty. And they didn't realize it. He says in verse number 10, Jesus answered said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. He would have given thee living water. It's attributed to Harriet Tubman, abolitionist. I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they only knew they were slaves. Give me that stupid thing you're focused and obsessed with that has nothing of value when it comes to eternity. You want to build a healthy relationship in a home? Learn that book. Guys, learn what it means to become the head of a household. Women, learn what it means to submit to a man as unto Christ. Learn, discover what it means. How are you going to discover that? Get in the book. Become thirsty for the truth. Amen. What kind of job should I work? Where should I live? Amen. Get in the book. Become thirsty for the truth. You say, why are you saying the book? Because thy word is truth. Amen. That's how Christ deals with it. He addresses it. And he addresses this woman. And he says, listen, man, you've been living in sin. That's why I came here. I came to seek and save that which was lost. And I've been waiting for you. She didn't find him. He found her. He'd been waiting for her, slash him, to meet up so he could tell him how much he loved him. I was like, just give me all your sins. Give them to me so I could die for him, pay the penalty for him, so we could be friends and reconciled. Isn't that good news? That's the good news of the gospel. Amen? And I'll prove that it's true by what? By rising from the dead and leaving behind for all unbelievers to see forever. A nothing burger. An empty tomb. I'm your creator and your savior. I'm the living water. Does nothing produce everything? I believe in evolution. I mean, nothing produces. It's a nothing burger. Evolution is a giant nothing burger. Gives you a reason not to come to Christ. You mean to tell me that nothing produced everything? In the Bible, everything comes from everything. Because God is everything. You mean to tell me you believe something that's not alive produces life? In the Bible, life comes from eternal life. Which one makes more sense? It's a giant nothing burger. You mean that randomness produces fine-tuning? Go ahead, rip anything up. Throw it on the ground and tell me if it comes in order. Doesn't happen. It's a plan. It's a purpose. It's designed. You were designed. All 100 trillion cells that inhabit your body were designed on purpose so that your gallbladder is over here, not over here. Amen? He knows what to make work. Feet are the perfect place to be, brethren. Aren't they? Say amen. Does chaos produce information, or does thought produce order? Does unconsciousness produce consciousness, or does consciousness produce awareness? One is a nothing burger. Amen. Are you thirsty for the truth? You didn't evolve from nothing. That's a nothing burger. Are you thirsty? Religion can't save you. Jesus Christ can. Are you thirsty? The blood of bulls and goats can't take away your sins. Jesus Christ's blood can. Nothing burgers won't define the purpose for your life. Only Jesus Christ can. Get in the book, man. Amen? And this woman, she's constantly talking, well, you know, Jacob did this and our fathers, and she's focused on the past. Let me tell you something right now. When you're thirsty for the truth, nothing burgers become so past, man. That's yesterday. Amen. You know what's going on right now? That's yesterday. I'm moving on, brother. Press forward. Keep your sights on Jesus Christ. Exciting times are up ahead. Just throw out the nothing burger so you can interpret them properly. Amen. You have to have the thirst for the truth of God. When Jesus Christ says you have to hunger for the spirit of God's word, not just the thirst for the water of his word, the hunger for the food of God's word. Jesus Christ is that meat of his word. He tells us that in John chapter 6. Let me read that to you. Now, this woman has to discover this. And in order for her to discover this, he says, listen, when you discover this, you're going to become like a river. Your belly's going to become like a river of what? You see, this is the living water. It's pure. It's purified drinking water. So this is the living water. This is your vessel. Is your belly, is this a river of living water right now? What has to happen for this to become a river of living water? What has to happen? This is what has to happen, brother. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, don't. Okay. You understand the concept. Yeah. I still smell. That's going to stop unless what? Unless I keep filling it. enough. But I know you got what I'm talking about. Come on, man. You guys are so mean, dude. This is a mean church. The Bible says, what's happening? You're discovering something. I'm redeemed. I thirst for that river of living water. And you know what begins to happen? See, you got, the Spirit, right? I know I'm a lost person, you know? And I got saved. My conscience convicted me. I came to Christ, the fountain of living water, and I drank it. And in order for my body to become a flow of river of living water, he has to puncture and break and cut and show me that it's not me, it's all him, and that's what he's got to do to you. You want to bless someone else's life? Throw away the nothing burger. My meat is to do thy will and to finish it. You know what's going to happen? It's going to break you. Things are going to happen in your life. They're going to break you. And if you thirst for the truth, you'll begin to hunger for the truth. But that thirst will allow the water to flow like rivers. It flows. And then you begin to hunger. This is what God seeks. This is what he wants Christians to discover. You and I, brethren. He wants to discover how good it is to be saved. Put aside the past. Press forward to the future. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Isn't it at the name of Jesus every knee should bow? So here you are, Jesus Christ is Lord. What has he magnified above his name? His word. When you look through a magnifying glass, what does that make it look like? Bigger and bigger. Let me tell you something, brother. The moment you get saved, something bigger happened to you than you'll ever know. Amen? But in order for it to happen, you got to throw out that what? There you go. You got to throw out that nothing burger. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ says this in verse 63. I mean, the Bible talks about all the story of Naaman, the military man. He wanted all kinds of things, and he got them. But he didn't get what he needed until he became a leper. Why? Because that's when he saw that he needed God. Amen? Working and struggling for all that you want, you don't see what you need until God shows you you're a leper. And then you discover you need God. Thirsty for the truth. Hungry for the truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Jews didn't do that. They saw everything as physical. They didn't see the spiritual. They didn't see the need for their sins to be forgiven with a crown of thorns before God would set up a kingdom. They didn't see eternity. They saw the here and now. Brother, it is a... That's all it is. The here and now is just a nothing burger. Jesus Christ said in John 6:63, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. He says in verse number 35. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I can't read it, it's ripped out. He that eateth me eateth the bread of life, something like that, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never die. Does it say that? Did I misquote that? I probably did. No, shall never thirst. It's both of them. You thirst for the truth. Amen? And then you hunger for the Spirit. I want to know what it means, how it applies to me. You see, Jesus was waiting for her. He's done talking to her. The apostles are there, and he's waiting for them. The same structure of prejudice that exists in unbelievers exist in us. Why is so-and-so, why is that person coming to our church? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Why would so-and-so, you know, want to marry that person? What do you mean? Amen? It's the same structure of prejudices, brother. Amen? He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our savior. It's not a question mark he ends with, you know, give me to drink. It's not him that needs the water. We do. You know the most water in the world is in America? Fresh water? They say like a fifth of all the water in the world is in America. I don't know how many quadrillions of gallons of fresh water. The Great Lakes. Amen? Imagine, you know, what do you call when you how do you call when you turn an animal kind of into a dog? You call animals into humans, give those traits, what do you call that? Nobody?
Nothing burgers, come on!
So you go to the lake and you say, here, Great Lakes, here's a glass of water. What are you talking? You're going to give me a glass of water? It's Christ. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. It's not just thirsting, brother. It's hungering. It's hungering for righteousness. Hebrews 5 tells us that. I'm coming to an end. I'm closing. There's a proverb in Nigeria. It says this. Until the lion can write, the hunter will get all the glory. Because the other side isn't heard. Nothing burgers. They're not letting the other side be heard. They're forcing you to think something through censoring. Amen. Through pummeling your kids with propaganda. Amen. Taking the rights of parents away, giving it to the government. Jews became so proud with their knowledge of the truth of the word, they forgot and missed the spirit of the word. Amen. Here's a song. Let me show you. It goes like this. You've heard it. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Say, what's missing to that song? The other side. Father Abraham had a concubine. Another son had Father Abraham. His name is Ishmael, and he hates Israel. And so it is today. They hate each other. They kill each other. They despise each other. They want to bomb each other. Amen? Brother, that's what you see. It's the same structure of biases that exist all around the world. Nothing can unite this world except Jesus Christ in the center. That's the only thing that will unite this church. I mean, great, great King David had hidden pride. Hidden pride had King David, so he killed a man and took his wife, and that son became his enemy. And that's what happens, brother. Amen. There's another side to the story. If you get what you want, you might lose what you had. Be careful, hungry for the spirit of God's word. There's a family in Brazil, late 1900s, 1990s actually, our lifetime. They got saved. Very poor. Didn't have much. 15, 16 years go by. Missionaries come back, and there's over 100,000 people that were gathering together, you know, around as a result of the seed that gave fruit in their lives and flowed out to others. Much better than what I tried to demonstrate. Amen? And he said, well, why are you guys so happy and excited? Why is it growing? And he said, well, because you in America, you just talk about here and now. That's not what we do. We talk about eternity. Amen? Say, what's that? Because the here and now, that's just, those are just, that's all it is, brother. That's the meat that ye know not of. It's eternity. Do you know that any number divided by infinity is zero? Yeah, but I'm going to enjoy this for 50 years divided by infinity. Yeah, but I'm going to enjoy this for 100 years divided by infinity. Yeah, but I've got one. I'm the first trillionaire in the world. Look at me. Divided by infinity. It's zero. C.S. Lewis said the Christians who the most in this world are those who think the most of the next. Amen. Brother, the devil's not wanting to leave heaven, and he's not wanting to go to hell. Don't be deceived. It's a nothing burger. There ain't nothing down there you want to go for. Amen. Let me close with this in Book of Revelation. Brother, someday we're gonna be in heaven. The chillin', thrillin', grillin' glory land. The only reference to nothing burgers will be the memory as we see it in the Book of Revelation, chapter 21. You know the founder of Z Burger has a local chain of burger joints in Washington. He says he invented the term nothing burger, giving people free burgers if they say they want a nothing burger. You know that Chick-fil-A has a creed, a second mile service. It's referenced. It's on Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. It's on some of their bags that they put out. Amen? You've got that. You've got the CEO of Double Doubles. They have Nahum 1 verse 7 on their wrappers. You've got Forever 21 with a shopping bag they put on the bottom of it. When you go, you buy something, you leave, you look at the bottom, it says John 3:16. You know what they discovered? What I'm about to show you. Revelation chapter number 20. Man, it's all nothing burgers. Oh, it's so cute though. It's a nothing burger. Amen. There's a person who's so cute. They were given a free, a free duck. It was considered one of the happiest pets you could have. And they gave it some worms and a cricket and a cute little frog. It's so cute. And they came back. The frog, the worms, and the cricket were all gone. Amen. Why? That cute little duck wasn't the happiest duck it could be. Amen. It wanted something more that required the death of something else. The death of something else that will bring you happiness is Jesus Christ. Because when he died, he removed the curse of this world. Now look at this in Revelation 22. Well, 21, we're coming to an end. Here's John. Here's heaven. A new heaven, a new earth coming down from heaven. The first heaven, the first earth are passed away. I saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes in verse 4. And he says, there should be no more death. There should be no more sorrow. See, the only remembrance in the future of nothing burgers is a remembrance that you see in the Word of God. Amen. And when people see Jesus Christ said he's going to feed people, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to feed you. And they're going to look at Jesus Christ and say, what are those marks come from your hands? I'm talking about in eternity, brother. And they're going to say, those have to do with sins that I died for. That people chose to either trust me to be the payment for those sins or to reject me and pay them for themselves. Say, what's the difference? Well, the nothing burgers are here, and those that knew the meat of my Father's will, understanding it is finished, are over here. Look at this in 21 where he says, there shall be no more curse. In verse number 3, there shall be no of chapter 22, there shall be no more curse but the throne of God. So listen to this. We're coming to a close. These people that discovered, they're going to use their work as a means of worshiping God. Worship isn't work, but work can become worship. When you understand this simple principle, amen? Because in eternity, are there going to be police officers? What do you think? Are there going to be judges? Are there going to be bondsmen? Are there going to be doctors? Are there going to be nurses? Are there going to be anesthesiologists? Are there going to be ophthalmologists? Right? Are there going to be crutches? Are there going to be fake teeth? Are there going to be diapers? I don't know. Let's not go there. No hearing aids. No, give me something else. Ubers. No Ubers. Is that what you said? Yep. Okay, we'll go with that. No CNI dogs. Amen. You know, come on, give me something. Anybody got anything? No wheelchairs. What else? No pacemaker. What else? No Pringles? Oh, no what? No wrinkles. I like that one. How about? I can't say it. I don't want to get obsessed with it, okay? What else? No gas stations. No overweight. I should have heard some more amen. That one should have got a whole bunch of amen. And so, are you getting what I'm saying? There's no more work to do, so what are you going to do? You might as well let your work be worship. Because that's what it's going to be in all eternity. When nothing burgers are forever understood to be exactly what they are. You say, what's that? Nothing. Lord, I pray that you would bless this lesson, honor it, in spite of who I am, for crying out loud. I pray that people would have been pointed to Christ, their faith would have been lifted up, reminded of how good it is to be saved. And our purpose remaining here, help us to make it count, Lord. Pointing others that don't yet know what they're really thirsting for is Jesus Christ. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen.